Welcome, one and all, with your host, Rolando, and his co-host, John. We are the Skeleton Boys.
Hello and welcome to the Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I'm Rolando.
And I'm Johnny.
And welcome to the show. This week, we will review The Invitation. As always, John will give us the plot in five words. We'll give our first thoughts and then go into deep spoiler analysis. But first, we're going to talk about what we've been watching. So, John, you said you were watching Sacha Baron Cohen's
Outtakes. Yeah, Sacha Baron Cohen's got this new show out. Where he plays like a Eastern Ukrainian character or something. I've never heard of it, like Barot or something.
Okay.
No, so there's he's making half hour episodes of all the extra takes of the last Borat movie. What was it called?
Borat 2.
Second Borat movie. 2. Borat during the pandemic and Donald Trump and stuff.
Yeah.
did you watch that one?
Yeah, I liked it.
It was good.
It was really good. Yeah. I liked how he changed. You could tell he like changed modes when COVID hit, and then like.
Oh yeah. Tried to, like, yeah. You know. And he took some big risks. I mean, they both did doing a lot of those.
Yep.
Those things like at the rallies and.
Maskless and shit.
Yeah. Yeah. He's hanging out with those. Like hunter guys, right?
There's like that whole freedom fighters.
Freedom fighters. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I don't know.
Yeah, so this show is just like, I guess, the extra takes. A few of them you can tell it's just you got like other actors to come in, because otherwise I don't know how anybody could sit through an entire sequence of what he does. You
know? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's like one where he's cutting somebody's hair. And he's using like a really old rusty pair of scissors, and it's so uncomfortable to watch. It's okay. It's like you can definitely tell why they're the outtakes.
Okay. Yeah.
I feel like the film was like really well edited and stuff, so
it's not like the Lord of the Rings extended editions where they add all this like extra material and it's just all good.
No, it's not like Zack Snyder's Lord of the Rings cut.
Yeah, was it black and white in 4:3 aspect ratio?
yeah it is. And how hard was it to get anything in focus,
and did he shoot question. It and yeah.
Yeah. Oh man,
that's cool.
I feel like that movie keeps popping up.
Yeah. I just feel like every other week now we're talking about Zack Snyder, but our favorite topic. Like he like comes out with some crazy weird thing he says, like, oh well, they didn't let me do what I wanted. This is what I would have done. I got test footage of it or some bullshit like that. And it's just like, go away, dude. Like you had your movie, you were redeemed, you know what I mean? You had your movie taken away, you were redeemed, and now like you still can't just go away. You know?
Dude, and that's because there's no excuse for this movie. It's
just yeah.
Bad. And you can tell he did all the work himself, because it almost feels like a first effort, right?
Yeah.
It's like, oh no.
You know, I'm just going to a natural light. Everything is going to be natural lit, and we're just going to shoot. We're going to shoot on the fly. It's going to be great.
Yeah. Good job. You nailed it.
What's
the movie about? Who cares? Zombies, right? robot zombies and super zombies, I guess.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Cool. Did you, that's all you ended up watching because you're back to work, which you can't talk about.
Back to work. So. Back to work in the new COVID world. My, how much more difficult it makes my job, which I understand. I'm being understanding, but holy shit. Everything is 1,000 steps now.
Yeah, but, rightfully so, right?
Yeah.
Rightfully so.
Fine, yeah. And you know, wear a mask everywhere. I'm totally okay with that too.
Yeah, that's cool.
I don't need to see anybody's faces.
Yeah, we were talking earlier. I was like, man, I'm just going to keep my mask. I think I'm always maybe in my pocket. I think at some point I'll eventually feel comfortable. I think the restrictions are lifting soon. And for sure, I think my workplace will probably not require them. And that's probably where I'll get comfortable again. And then, I don't know, maybe I'll just always keep it with me just in case somebody looks sick. Or I don't know if I've been to a birthday party and then trying to just share cake with everybody, just mask up.
You're like, yeah, just slip it through the gate. And like, Rolando, you can come in if you want. No, I'm good. You know, give you guys your space.
Yeah, and you know, we got to set a date. We got to find out when our other buddy is fully vaxxed so we can all hang out too. So,
yeah.
So, we'll
our
see.
Our other buddy. Oh, Jimmy?
Jimmy, yeah. Yeah.
Jimmy G.
Jimmy G.
We'll see. Yeah. We should find out if he is vaxxed.
So yeah, I'm just trying to put you on the spot so we can have something on the record about.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I'll reach out to him.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe his views are wildly different. We have no idea.
Oh wow.
Uh-oh.
Spoiler. That's a plot twist. Yeah.
Jimmy G is a Soprano.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of, I made the mistake of watching, I forgot who it is, but somebody in The Sopranos gets whacked was the YouTube video. So it was just a clip from Sopranos of somebody getting whacked.
Yeah.
And now my YouTube feed is like just littered with like, now this person gets whacked. This person gets whacked.
So have you had any?
I'm quickly reliving all of Sopranos. But just when they get whacked.
So let me ask you, you've seen it? You've seen all of them? You've seen all the Sopranos?
Yeah, but like, it's been
a long time.
A very long time. I want to say like a decade. You know?
That's a show I've never started or finished. So
it was really good. But even watching just the deaths, I'm like, oh, I don't know how well this is going to hold up because there's a lot of like very questionable moments. But if you just accept it's the mob, right? I guess it's okay.
Right, yeah.
I don't know. It's one of those shows where it's like, oh, they're horrible, but yeah, I think that's the point.
Yeah. Speaking of the mob, I saw a new TV series through AMC Plus, which is another stupid streaming thing. And it's Gangs of London, which the guy from The Raid made. So it's these really like thick accents, London people. They have like people from the outskirts of London and in the city, London people. And I had to put the captions on.
Oh.
But more or less, I followed what was going on. And it's a good, like, solid, like gangster cop kind of situation, you know, without revealing too much. But it has, think of like The Raid. Like, there's, I only was able to watch the first episode, and man, they have. He's the most intense, one of the most intense action scenes I've ever seen on TV. So I'm nice. Like completely okay. in on this show. I was trying to pull up his name, Gareth Evans. Gareth Evans is the creator and director. And man, this guy, I don't understand why Gareth Evans isn't like, they just give him $2 million, $200 million and be like, do whatever you want. Because this guy just is innovator of action and just creates so much like raw tension in all his action scenes. To kind of put it without spoiling too much, the first like big action scene is our main lead guy is ends up in a situation where he needs to rescue a guy, and the guy that's there is like butchering some of the guys. So like he's like butt naked and has like he's like giant freaking MMA buffed out guy, but he's butt naked, has a
Sold.
Giant axe, and they
Watching
just begin
it right
to
now.
Like
naked buff dude,
and they have a crazy action scene. It's it was it, even I was like like, you know, like gripping, like grabbing a pillow tightly and just like, oh, ah, just like, what the hell's going on?
And, would you say it's comparable to that last scene in the first episode of Invincible?
Yes, pretty much.
Nice.
Yeah, okay. They do a really clever way of, because there's not a lot of blood. It's a TV show. It's not like graphic or gory, but it's still just like heart racing and like just won't let it stop, you know. So I'm really excited about like continuing the show and stuff like that. So,
why haven't they given this guy any offshoot to shoot of the Fast franchise yet? You know,
I know. I don't know. Yeah,
the all space of this stuff movie, so far.
The Fast.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All of this stuff so far involves family, right? In some way.
Yeah, it's
true. He knows. Yeah. He knows how to do it.
He just, yeah, honestly.
Introduce
like,
some Coronas, you're good.
He just seems like one of those guys that's just like marooned in like London or England or, you know what I mean? He just hasn't penetrated America yet. And I think so much of his...
Oh, yeah, penetrate America.
So much of his work is just like... Can't miss, you know what I mean? So, but yeah, that's one thing I watched.
Like the Raid?
Oh, yeah, classics. Both of them. They're just like...
fucking movie's amazing.
Yeah. The other thing I checked out was Sweet Tooth. So...
Oh, that's right.
Checked it out. Yeah, it just released, and I know it was based on a Jeff Lemire graphic novel. I'm a giant Jeff Lemire fan. And in an alternate timeline... We read a Jeff Lemire comic for another podcast we did.
Oh, that's right.
And
Wormwood, right?
No. That's the one our friend recommended.
Saga? Space. Wait.
No. You recommended that one,
Thomas. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Has it been
just
that
so
long?
We're all clear, it was called A Drunk Comic Book Society, and we were very drunk the whole time we did it.
Yeah, don't bother looking it up. It's gone from the internet. So
it's disappeared.
Yeah, it's completely gone. Yeah, no, he did. Oh my god, I'm sure our friend is yelling at us because he made us read it, and I don't have it pulled up. This is interesting.
Was it World War Hulk? Oh, that was me too. I'm just gonna keep naming the ones I did.
I seem to only recall some of the stuff we talked about. Damn, this sucks. I don't remember what the name
of it is.
Yeah,
because I swear, because we were like pretty adamant about drinking as we were doing it, and I feel like I did like momentarily black out in one of them. So I'm glad they disappeared.
Yeah. Oh my god, our friend is yelling at us. What was it called? Damn. Just gonna edit all this.
We don't remember, but it was definitely good.
It was good.
Yeah, it was so good we forgot, so we would enjoy it like it's the first time we've read it again.
Yeah. Yeah, this sucks. I don't remember the name of it. Anyway, Sweet Tooth.
Stay tuned, folks.
Stay tuned for it.
for the big reveal of the comic we read a long time ago.
I'm still
we'll
trying
let
to
you know within the next 6 episodes. No pressure.
Was it? No, it wasn't that one. No. This is.
I'm even trying to think. It's like I had like Wormwood.
Trillium. Oh my god, I got it. Trillium. Oh
yes,
my god.
It was very good. It was very good.
It was actually really good, yeah. Oh man, it was unforgettable. So unforgettable Trillium. Yeah. I'm just gonna edit it's painful.
We have to be forgiven for that. Like who the hell's gonna remember Trillium?
So
sounds like a Lil Wayne song.
Yeah, like a 2000 band, metal band.
Yeah. Like Trivium, yeah.
Yeah.
Trivium, formerly Trillium.
Yeah. So Sweet Tooth, it's about, you know, a classically, I don't know. I think as a comic book fan, you see a lot of like covers, and this one has like, to me, an iconic cover of a little boy with ear, you know, deer antlers and big ear, and
has it's the
young kid,
the Fall Out Boy guy, right, from that music video.
Yeah, I think that's where they ripped it off. Probably, more than likely. So, God forbid they came up with it, you know.
Yeah,
I'm gonna go on a limb and say they didn't. So, Fall Out Boy didn't, but
they were original about the whole thing.
So no, it's actually when it started, it was a little upsetting because it's about a virus that breaks out, and kills half of the population. And
I hope that never happens.
That never happens. Society crumbles. Weird hybrid children are born with animal features. And for whatever reason, I thought this was going to be like kind of a fun, loving show. It's post-apocalyptic. coming of age story, you know what I mean? Yeah, so
talking about Vertigo Comics, right?
That's true. I don't know why. Yeah. I don't know why I thought otherwise, but so far, good episode. You know, the makeup and the kids with the antlers and everything is really cute. And Will, what's his name? Forte is in it. Is that his name?
Oh yeah, Will Forte. Cool.
Will Forte. He's in it. Yeah. And he's such an underrated actor, don't you think? Like, I feel like,
yeah, I think it's great. Like, yeah.
His dramatic stuff is good, but you can say that about a lot of like comedians.
Yeah,
or
comedic
like
actors.
Comedic That's actors. True.
Like Robin Williams was fucking amazing.
That's a great example. Yeah,
Steve Martin like really Steve kills Martin. It. Like Pennies from Heaven is a fucking wonderful movie.
Shop Girl.
It
was really good. So I was first episode again. I watched the first episode. I was really impressed with it. I really liked it. It sets up pretty much the first episode, sets up everything and kind of sets up what the whole show is going to be and where it's headed. So
cool.
Really fun, okay. Sweet show.
And I got to check it out. And we were talking about it briefly before, and I guess we both didn't know this was even being made.
Yeah. And, yeah.
Like, I didn't know until earlier today. And so, I was under the impression it was animated.
Yeah. It's funny you mentioned that because Jupiter, what is it called? What's that show? Jupiter Ascending? Jupiter Legacy. It's on Netflix. It's a famous, it's a very popular comic series by Mark Millar, excuse me. And it came out and it got canceled right away. I haven't even checked it out. You know anything? Have you heard about this yet? Or?
No, I mean, I did see it was on Netflix, but
Looks terrible.
I'm sorry if anybody Netflix higher-ups hear this, but it's just more often than not, the movies are not going to be very good or the shows are going to be okay. I will say Love, Death, and Robots is fucking fantastic.
Yeah.
The second season is so good.
Yeah, it was in the second season, yeah. I had no idea this thing was going into production because apparently Netflix, at some point, maybe about 4 or 5 years ago, bought all of Mark Millar's comics and they were going to turn them all into movies and TV series. And that was one of his bigger ones. And apparently they did a really bad job. I had no idea. I just started seeing stuff about it online. And the other day I read that it got canceled. And apparently it finished on a cliffhanger the first season. So there's going to be no resolution to it. So that's a shame. And hopefully Sweet Tooth doesn't get the same treatment. See what happens.
Whoops. So where can we see Sweet Tooth?
Netflix.
Netflix. Get on that, guys. Buy your yearly subscription to Netflix. Which actually, our movie that we're reviewing was on Netflix.
Exactly, yeah. I literally finished it and I was like, oh, look, there's a Sweet Tooth. Let me play that. Play that movie. So,
there you go.
Yeah.
Oh, that's because you canceled Netflix, didn't you?
I canceled Netflix, but I got it back. Yeah. So
of course, like this the is how you can't get rid of.
No. Yeah, everybody loves when we talk about how the sausage is made. Like, I have a lot of streaming services because we watch. I try to keep our options open. You know what I mean, in terms of like what's available, stuff like that. So we didn't have Netflix for a while. We're like, what the hell is this crap? And then the Selena series was coming back. We're like, okay, we got to get it back now. So. Gotta finish. Yeah. I thought the first season ended and then it wasn't gonna come back for like a full year, but apparently it's like part one and part two. And it was just they just divided it up the series in
Oh, okay. I didn't know that either.
So I'm assuming they just shot everything, finished it, and then just like they're breaking it up or something like that. Huh. So.
Okay. Well, smart of them.
Yeah. Cause that show will eventually have to end. Right.
Yeah. No spoilers. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in case you guys didn't know at home, we are both definitely Mexican. So these things are important to us.
What? Selena's back? Let's get it back. Let's get the Netflix back. Come on.
Yeah. The Netflix. The Salinas. They need to make a Freddy Fender something. Oh, they are, right? Aren't they making a Freddy Fender show?
You mean the woman that's painted in the San Benito Water Tower that looks like Freddy
Fender? Yeah, exactly. They need to make they need to make one about him, and they need to make one about actually, our friend Edwin said they may have a Juan Gabriel thing in production soon.
No, yeah, that's on there. No, it's Luis Miguel's on Netflix now, so they're doing Juan Gabriel too.
They need to do I can't believe I'm forgetting the name of the band. Texas Tornadoes, right?
I think so, yeah.
Hey, baby, ¿qué pasó? We need that, the super band, the super Texas band.
So low-key, when I was in college, I wanted to make, in another life, I was trying to be a writer, and one of my projects I would have loved to have made at the time was a movie on Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I was all into it at the time. I bought, like, his autobiography. I fucking read that shit, and still, to this day, I think about it. Like, man, that would be a fucking badass movie to make.
Just fucking white Texas Jimi Hendrix.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Well, he was obsessed, yeah. Right?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Anyways, we're way off track here. But
I'm sorry. Yes. So the Borat show. I'm just kidding. It's okay. If you want to watch it, it's something to watch.
Yeah.
You know, that's it.
Cool.
Perfect.
All right. Before we get to review, let me ask John, have you ever been enlightened?
No. Well, no, that's not true. Sometimes, you know, we grew up in South Texas, like flatland gets pitch black. Sometimes I would get like a flashlight going outside and I would put it up against my palm. And if you look on the other side, it makes like a red glow and you can see the veins and stuff. But that's about as close as I ever got to what I think you're referring to.
So I have today some... Oh, okay. Yeah, I have today. So.
Wow. I didn't know it was that kind of podcast, but
something,
you know,
that will reach you and grab you and touch you. So let's take a quick listen.
Relaxation. Serenity. Peace. Tranquility. Calmness. Patience, stillness, so freaking still. More synonyms, click link. Note to self, edit that part out. Relaxation, and also relaxing. It's an escape from everything bad. On one simple 120-minute tape. It's not a real place or gathering. Only a state of mind.
I record the myself.
Get your Goose Retreat tape at the Goose Shack today.
Oh, holy shit. Okay. So, Jimmy G made like,
Yeah, no, go.
Relaxation tapes or what is that? Like spiritual alignment tapes?
Yeah. It's the best stuff. It's uncut.
It's like that. And I mean, I would, it reminded me of like those ocean sound CDs that you know, people suckered people into buying it like the mall kiosks.
Yeah, but you know, more honking. But
I mean, that's what I'm, the most soothing sound in the world really is, the honk of a goose.
Yeah. Yeah.
In case nobody knew that.
Nobody knew that. Now they know. Now they know.
If you want to fall asleep right away, just get like continuous loop of gooses honking.
Yeah.
It's good.
That's, yeah. We get some, we get that made, right? Some Patreon content right there.
If you guys subscribe. There might be a surprise.
The surprise tier. We'll do a surprise tier of stuff.
It's just different sounds of gooses.
Yeah. Norwegian goose.
Yeah. The Mexican geese. Mexican geese would be like honk honk. That sounded French. Okay, they're French geese too.
Yeah, French geese, ha honk. Mexican geese, ha honk.
Honk, yeah.
Honk, honk.
Pretty much all the geese sound the same, except for American geese go honk, honk.
Honk, honk, we storm the Capitol. All right. Okay, John, do you want to give the plot in 5 words?
Johnny. 5 words. Plot summary.
Drum roll, please.
Yeah, let's do it. All right, ladies and gentlemen.
You just have all winners, no fillers here. All killers, no fillers.
Absolutely. If you set the bar real low, they're all winners.
They're all winners.
For our movie that we're reviewing this week called The Invitation. Coming in at number 5, I have... Finally, Hollywood Hills gets representation. Coming in at number 4, I have Upgrade Guy versus Manson Family. And there's a footnote to this. It says, not as interesting as you would think. Coming in at number 3, I have Stop Hanging Out with Exes. You know?
Stop Hanging Out.
Yeah, yeah, we could have solved the whole movie right there.
Go, you know, what is it? Beer and salsa. Go to Beer and Salsa. Head down the hill.
Beer and salsa. Yeah. No, you're talking about the offshoot, Beer and Salsa.
But yeah.
That. And that's a real obscure reference. There is one restaurant in North Hollywood somewhere called Salsa and Beer.
So good. Too far. Won't ever go there unless we go to comics and tattoos.
Which I don't think is around anymore, unfortunately.
Oh, R.I.P. What the hell? Oh, man. It's done.
Coming in at number 2, I have Hollywood Socialites Try Hip Cult.
That's very on the nose, yeah.
Right? As opposed to, do Hollywood Socialites have another cult? Oh, we can't talk about that. All right, coming in at number 1, Worst Porn I've Ever Seen.
Yeah. So,
and I've actually got an extra if you want to hear it.
Of course.
It's not really a plot summary, but it's where the fuck is Choi?
Where the fuck is Choi? I think everybody in LA has a Troy friend. Right? Or
Yeah. Or like, where's Choi? Where do you go, Choi?
Cool. Oh, so, The Invitation. I just want to get out of the way real quick. This is why I don't go to parties. Not exactly my
This is exactly why you don't go to your parties.
You don't go to any parties in LA.
Past your 20s. So once you hit like 30, something like stop going to parties, because this is exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah. So, John, you want to give your first thoughts?
I liked it. I liked how like simple it was, too. It's just like real straightforward. Real uncomfortable. There was like this awkward kind of moment at the beginning when they arrive at the house. Not when there's like a mini car accident at the beginning, but
yeah,
where like, you kind of think like, man, do these actors kind of suck? I mean, some of them kind of did, to be honest. But as the movie progressed, it was like, oh, this actually kind of falls into place, sort of. It kind of makes more sense. It doesn't excuse him for the beginning, but like now it kind of really fills in. It feels like, oh, okay, it's just awkward. It's so like this tension building thing.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, I liked it. I thought it was fun.
Yeah. I think I'm a little more mixed. I do stuff I liked about it, but there's some glaring problems that I think you're kind of hitting on. I had this similar problem with just some of the story, some of the acting, some of the story stuff. Then like the dialogue is just really was a little weird for me. It was a little, none of it seemed natural. Was the thing that I didn't like at first as right, much as yeah. I really liked the way it starts. You know, kind of has that like. This like represents like this omen of like shit to come in the movie. You know what I mean? Like it has like this really kind of, he basically like runs over like a coyote or whatever. And then he has to like kill it out of mercy. And it's just like,
yeah, with like a fucking tire iron or something. I'm like,
yeah, something that's too violent. yeah. And you know, like, and for the most part, when he got started, I was mostly like, I was kind of, just odd. It was just kind of odd the way they behaved and what they talked about, what they were doing. And it just, And I think that was kind of the thing is I don't think the film was trying to have it to where is it crazy? Is he crazy or is these people really are up to something, right?
Right, yeah.
And I don't think there was enough balance in it. And for me, it was I knew something was up when like John Carroll Lynn showed up. I just knew where
right?
the
you
story
just always
was.
Know, right?
yeah, yeah.
You just always know if Logan Marshall Green is in a movie, it's probably going to be violent at some point. And if John Carroll Lynn shows up, it's going to go fucking bonkers.
yeah, and I knew like once the actor showed up, I was like, okay, I know where this is going to head. Now let's see how they get there. Well, let's see if it's interesting and how they get there, right? And for the most part, they did a fairly decent work. I'm not as much as what's his name? Logan Green's been around. Right. Logan Marshall Green or whatever. I feel like I've never really seen him in much. I can't really like pinpoint a performance so that I remember him from like a specific movie. Like, oh, he was in this. He was, you know. He low-key has like a Guy Pearce thing going on here. So
a little bit, yeah. I think it's a lot of like he just looks so much like Tom Hardy.
Yeah.
So you know when people watch these movies that he's in, sometimes I don't know if people get like deterred by like, oh, this guy's not Tom Hardy. It's like no, I mean, I think he's a fantastic actor too, though.
He is, and that was the comment I wanted to make. That like I was thinking, like, why is this guy not a movie star? Like, he seems to have like all the qualities, you know, the look, right. he was cast as lead in this, and I thought he held the whole movie together. He was pretty much like in every scene, and I thought that he did a great job overall, you know, conveying his character.
Right. Yeah, I was gonna say the Devil. He was the main guy in Devil, the elevator movie.
I did see that, yeah.
Yeah, he was the main guy, the guy that survives at the end.
Shyamalama Ding Dong's presents, right? Or something?
Yeah, not directed by, but did present.
Yeah, that's when he was trying to, like, do, like, a Shyamalan presents, like a kind of a Hitchcock thing where he would, like, look at the scary thing I'm making or producing or whatever, you know? Blumhouse has kind of took it over in that sense. What he was trying to accomplish.
Hopefully, Sam Raimi can take that back.
yeah, hopefully. Right.
Have you seen the trailer to the new Shyamalan movie? Maybe we.
Yeah,
should
oh yeah,
be off
we
sh- topic, but yeah,
yeah.
I'm curious.
yeah. I want to watch that. Yeah, no,
yeah,
I'm down.
Really fucking curious.
And it's horror-ish. Great. Yeah, I'm down. We can check it out.
All for sure. One location, right? A very peculiar location.
Fascinating.
Also, Upgrade. Yeah. Did you watch Upgrade?
I haven't. That was
Speaking
one movie.
Of Blumhouse?
Yeah, that was one I need to check out. That one looked good. I saw.
It's fun. No real story, but it's fun.
yeah. One it looked good. It looked really good. But the other comment I wanted to make is Toby Huss is in it. I love me some Toby Huss. So it was always welcomed. He's in a. He's the. The actor in the. In whatever that video they do in the laptop. He's
the. Yeah, he's the strongest man in the world. I always say that. My partner, Georgie, does not know what Pete and Pete is. Every time I fucking bring it up, she has no clue what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, but he's like, what, the voice of Cotton Hill in King of the Hill, and he's also Khan.
Yeah.
He's the voice of Khan also.
Mm-hmm.
He came out on Reno 911 a lot. Yeah, he's amazing. He's such a great actor.
Yeah, you know, were you a fan of Karen Kusama? Kusama?
Before?
Kusama, yeah. Because she did...
Like Aeon Flux, right?
Aeon Flux, she did Jennifer's Body.
Oh, you know what? I do like Jennifer's Body.
I feel like
Jennifer's Body.
That movie has not gotten its day. I think that's a really underrated movie. That movie was good.
Absolutely.
I feel like people just actively turned on, Megan Fox. Was it Megan Fox?
Megan Fox, yeah. Right, yeah. Well, almost like right before that film, right? It just seemed
like... everybody turned on her, and then she got fired from Transformers, and the movie quote-unquote bombed, but I thought it was a really well-made horror movie.
Yeah, unfortunate. Which was also written by,
Diablo Cody?
Yes.
Diablo Cody, yeah.
Which is interesting. Like, I think the movie before was Juno, right? And then writing a horror flick right after that is interesting. It still had the same sort of like indie feel, which is fun. I actually showed Georgie that one too, and she never wanted to watch it. I think because she assumed it was going to be like a very sort of sexist type of horror film. And I was like, nah, give it a shot. And like, it's cool.
Yeah, it's definitely a movie that like, there's a good balance of like whatever Diablo Cody did as a writer, you know, comedy bits, and then the really strong horror direction as well, which is also sort of evident here. I feel like the direction was actually the best thing I liked. Like, this is a really pretty movie, and I thought for the space, it's up in this Hollywood mansion or up in the hills and stuff. Like, she covered it really well everywhere. Everything was uniquely shot. There was always geography for everything in the movie. I knew where everything was and who was who. And there were some very interesting takes and shots in the movie that I really liked. So she definitely was confined, but she really found ways to work within it.
Yeah, she did an amazing job. I think the only scene that might was kind of off-putting for me, but it was just like a sound issue. They were shooting the dining scene or like the dinner scene. And one of the scenes, there was like this blaring echo, but I was like, yeah, because they're in that room and they're shooting this direction. So I'm sure like the boom was just catching what was bouncing off the wall.
Mm-hmm.
But then the rest of it, they shot it the other direction. So it didn't happen anymore.
Right. Yeah.
That was it. But it's also indie, right?
Yeah. And speaking of the production company, Game Changer, I found this note that it's a production company that finances like only women projects.
Oh shit, that's cool. Okay.
So this was I think one of their projects they did in, what was this, 2015, 2016 when it came out?
2015, 2016, yeah.
I like a lot of parts of this movie. I think the sort of what would you call them? Like red herrings in the movie about what the intention of these people to kind of give a little bit of context. Like the main lead gets invited to a party, right? For his ex-wife, which you mentioned that they apparently had a child and it passed away. And then that eventually led to them having a cause of issues and divorcing. And she ends up meeting some guy. They go to Mexico for 2 years. They just randomly come back, invite him to a party, and for whatever reason, he decides to go. So,
I know that was confusing.
Speaking of, would you go to a party of an ex you haven't seen in 2 years?
So, I mean, even like especially if I had a child that was, I totally missed how the kid got killed. What, got hit in the head with a bat by another kid or something like that?
Something like that, yeah.
I think, yeah, I don't know. Anyway, it didn't seem to be that important, yeah. Yeah. So to be invited by an ex to go back to the old house that you, like,
he lived, had that a he family bought.
With together.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Like, no, probably not.
Yeah, LA's weird, but this never struck true. And I think those little, there's a lot of little hurdles of, like, to me, logic that hinder the movie, you know what I mean?
I mean, I guess this is like a bit of a spoiler. I just won't say, but John Carroll Lynch has a monologue, which is kind of fun because, you know, John Carroll Lynch has a monologue. And at the end of it, I made a joke and it was like, he says this thing and I go, and I'm John Carroll Lynch. I'll see you later. Peace. And he just like walks out. That would have been perfect. No, he stays in the
movie. I'll see
you later. Yeah, I'll see you later. Bye.
Yeah.
You got your 15 minutes of me. Goodbye. But they have that. And then Logan Marshall Green is the only guy that's like really disturbed. Oh, no. Well, there's another person that's really disturbed. But according to this guy's story, I would be like, I'm going to bounce. I don't need to be around these people.
Dude, like, at all points of this movie, like, I would have been like, let's go. Let's check out.
Go. Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's a In-N-Out down the mountain. Let's go to In-N-Out or something. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, there's just a lot of, like, little things like that that I guess I understand what the intention of the movie is. I'm not sure it was... It never reached that point, you know what I mean? Of like, almost like a play, like sharp dialogue, kind of cutting, and kind of like this group kind of situation, you know what I mean? All stuck in one place.
Right. And again, monologues and asides.
Mm-hmm. And I never really like hit it home. Some of it could have been the pacing. I thought some of the pacing was a little tough.
Right. Yeah. Agreed with that. Actually,
a lot. I feel like a lot of things were said and nothing that really like moved the plot forward. You know what I mean? Like,
but again, going back to what you said about red herrings, it was all about like, deterring what you think is going to happen. What you think is going to happen still happens.
It plays out exactly the way I thought it would play out.
Exactly. Yeah, of course.
Cool. Did you want to just get into spoilers?
Yeah, let's do it.
Wait! No, stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into...
spoilers.
So they're a cult.
They're a cult.
They're a cult. Murderous cult, obviously. So how much of this is based on the Mansons, do you think?
Right? Yeah, it had a very Manson vibe. It had a very Manson vibe, and it had a very, oh my God, what is, everybody always talks about this. The dude, the old white dude, he had that cult, and then everybody, like, drank the Kool-Aid guy.
Oh, Jonestown Massacre.
Damn.
Was it the Jonestown Massacre? Yeah.
Well, that one, I don't know. Well, if you go to the Museum of Death, they have them all. And like, yeah, it's just very culty. The whole idea is very culty. And I thought it was I guess the whole concept of the movie is what people are willing to do to try to be happy after tragedy. Because according to all of them, they all had like, or the people that were part of the cult had some sort of dramatic trauma recently, and this is what they did to overcome it, except for the producer guy. But for a producer guy like him, right, because he was like real stereotypical producer dude, which is like not fair to say, because I don't know how many producers I've actually met that are like that guy. I mean, a few for sure, but I don't know, interesting idea of what it means to like let go and what it means to accept. And for some people it's like too much, too extreme. What did you get out of it? That's kind of what I was gathering from the movie.
Yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right. I think the film is the monologue that John Carroll Lynch gives about
this
being married, killing, you know, basically having a long relationship with his wife, got drunk, and I guess hit her? And to the point where
he straight up murdered her.
he hit her, and like according to him, like she hit her head, and then like she like had like a death rattle of a couple hand gestures and died. And he paid, quote unquote, paid for it. He went to jail or whatever, right? Or something happened to him, right? And
he went to jail for a while. Yeah,
his whole thing was that he, with whatever they were doing, he was able to forgive himself, right, through this murder, and then move on. So it's like the whole idea is that this cult is they murder people, so they murder the thing that's troubling them, and then they move on. That's a way for them to escape and move on, to deal with the whatever grief. That kind of...
Right, yeah. Which is why, like, these particular people were invited. The only thing that confused me about that, again, probably another sort of plot hole, honestly, is they were all Logan Marshall Green's and... actress's name escapes me. Tammy Blanchard's friends, mm-hmm. except for John Carroll Lynch, who at this point you realize is not even really a friend of producer guy. Producer guy, that dude's been in like several fucking things. he's like Game of Thrones for a
he's
while.
He's a Game of Thrones guy.
yeah. Like they know each other. I guess they're friends, but it's more of like they're part of the cult already. Call the invitation, right? Like you get invited to this thing.
Right, yeah.
Oh, except for their second wife or whatever the hell she was. That lady that was off her rocker, the like sex fiend woman.
Oh, yeah. She, the hippie girl or whatever.
Yeah right. Yeah. But otherwise, it was all of her friends. So I don't know if like she needed all these people to die or die with her to gain acceptance so she can move on.
I believe that was the gist of it. Yeah, that they...
And then she shoots herself in the stomach as like what, like a sign of like letting go of her child, I guess, right? Sort of.
Yeah, I see that. I definitely see that. Yeah, I feel like a lot of this, the whole cult thing is spelled out, and it's kind of like we're just waiting for the shit to go down, right?
Right. Yeah.
That was kind of the thing that they try to like. Try to do all these different things and like, oh, maybe he's crazy or maybe they're not being drunk or maybe he's just his way of dealing with it and stuff like that. Like it was kind of, I don't think it worked.
I was going to say one moment for me really worked because mm-hmm. I was like, oh, okay, this is pretty good is when he tries to stop him. Cause like, that was my joke of where the fuck is Choi? one of the guests, what was her name in the thing? Kira had been like waiting for her boyfriend or husband the whole time. Right. Mm-hmm. And Logan Marshall Green was able to get reception at one point. Oh, it's a big deal that there's no reception throughout this whole movie for cell phones. which if anybody's been to the hills, it's a very, very real thing.
It's true. Absolutely true. Yeah.
Also very windy roads, probably several car accidents all the time. I've unfortunately had to drive 5 tons up that thing. It is shitting your pants scary sometimes. No lights at night.
yeah.
So he gets a message from him, and it's a Choi was actually there first, and he's about to walk in, and he hangs up, which, like, that was a little, what's the word I'm looking for? Where it was, like, really spelled out, and it was, like, a little too long of a voicemail conversation to make any sense, realistically. Mm.
Yeah,
because it was basically, oh my God, what's the word I'm looking for? Like when you paraphrase stuff, or not paraphrase, so when you lead the story, does that make sense?
Okay, yeah.
God, there's a word for it. Anyway, I'm an idiot, ladies and gentlemen. Signing off, goodbye.
Foreshadowing? Like
Not foreshadowing, it's like exposition in like a voicemail. That's what it felt like, sort of.
Okay, yeah.
To give you like a red herring. Again,
right. Yeah,
because absolutely, like the voicemail ends with like, oh, you know, I walked up, now I'm right in front of the door, I'm gonna walk in, I'll call you later. I'm like, I've never ever in my lifetime left a message like that.
Yeah. You know, yeah,
I want you to know every step I'm taking right now. But then Choi, I guess, leaves because he forgot to get dessert. So Logan Marshall Green at dinner is like freaking out and everybody like, well, what is this? Like the wine and all that, and like this and that, like there's something totally off. You guys don't see it. Are you serious? And then bam, doorbell rings. Choi shows up, makes him look like he's fucking insane. He starts to like freak out a little bit, which I thought was awesome. He did such a good job of doing that.
So I had a thought. So when that scene happened, I thought, oh, you know what'd be really cool or I thought the direction the story was going to go was that he was going to be like the woman in the video who sacrifices himself, because he was the only one that all his friends were there and that they were going to murder him or like convince him to kill himself, because he was the only one who clearly was like hadn't really dealt with grief of his dying son. I thought, oh, that would be really cool. It'd be kind of like a sacrifice-ish thing, kind of accepting of the cult. And that's what the whole party was about. That's the idea I had for like a split second. Now go ahead.
That would have been pretty cool. Yeah, I would have liked that. But it's also, he's the one guy, I think the movie tries to present it like, yeah, he is the one that can't accept it.
Mm-hmm.
But he's also the one guy that owns or admits that he can't. Like, he's the only dude that doesn't do any drugs. He's the only guy that doesn't drink. He's, like, feverishly drinking water to, like, calm down, you know?
Right. Mm.
But he's, like, the crazy one, but he's not.
No, because the very next scene, the wine, the wine is dosed, and the one of the girls dies.
Kira finally dies. Like, Kira Troy dies. Finally shows up, and Kira's dying.
Mm-hmm.
But which I didn't understand, because everybody was drinking the wine. I was like, was it the cake? Was she the only person that ate the cake?
I think it was, she was the only one that ate the wine, because at that point, he had that the character had like an episode. He was like knocking all the wines out. Like, he became really suspicious of it. And then like the hippie girl's like, oh, you ruined everything. And so on and so forth.
Yeah, try to stab him. Yeah.
Yeah, I tried to stab him. Yeah.
Because she also maybe was the only person that did any hard drugs, because she like requested cocaine at one point as a joke and got cocaine. Like, the guy was like, the producer dude was like, readily available cocaine.
Like, oh, I got cocaine, yeah.
Yeah.
LA, baby.
Yeah. So it had fentanyl in it. Maybe that's how she died. It was unintentional.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then that's when like shit hits the fan. There's no like, oh, how did she die? Because immediately right after Game of Thrones dude shoots somebody, right?
Yeah, he comes out with a gun. Yeah,
I think he kills the only Latin guy.
Gay Latin
man. And then that dude's husband tries to jump at him, right? And he gets shot, or he gets like sliced or something. And then he disappears for a part of the movie.
Yeah.
So you assume he's dead, but he's not.
He's not dead. He doesn't have any shoes on. And so wait, there's a funny... So he ends up like... surviving with Logan Marshall. I don't know this guy's name, Logan Green, and his girlfriend he took at the time, right? They all survive.
Dude, I got the names wrong. I need to rectify this real quick. Every time I said Kira, I meant to say Gina. Kira is his like girlfriend.
Oh,
I screwed that up bad. Sorry, everyone.
I didn't even notice. So yeah. We're terrible. Okay, if anybody knows anything about the Skeleton Boys, like we don't know names, we don't know actors, we don't know stuff we did in our own shows. So we like to
keep on the edge of our feet, just on our tippy toes, and keep things spicy by not knowing anything.
Yeah, this is all raw talk here.
We want you to be able to relate to us so much by not knowing what's going on ever.
Yeah. Did a really like poor job of it. Shit, what was I gonna say? Yeah, okay, so there's a funny thing that happens where he's like, the other guy who survives says, I'm gonna go get Miguel's body. I think his name is Miguel. I'm gonna go get Miguel's body. And I turned to my fiance like, would you want me to get your body, or if this ever happened to us? So and she's like, yeah, you're going back and you're getting my body. And I told her, okay, well, you got to get my body too. So you get.
Oh my God. If people could only see the height difference between you two.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
You're going to drag my dead body out of that cultist house.
your poor dead body being like stuck in between rooms because she's trying to drag you out.
And I'm sure at this point I've released my bowels.
Oh, man.
And started.
And she had probably lost her lunch at that point, too. So it's all good.
Yeah, it's all good. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Cool. Do you want to add any final thoughts on that?
No. Other than I I thought it was actually pretty good, ultimately. I think we can both agree the beginning's a little off-putting, I would say. Like, it almost leaned towards... what would you compare it to? Almost student filmish, like high-end art school, college sort of deal.
Yeah.
But then, like, when it, like, fleshes out, I was like, oh, this is pretty fun. This is really good.
Yeah. I would have to agree, yeah. I think that the direction was really solid. Some of the actors were really nice. And it definitely builds some nice moments, some nice, like, thriller, chiller moments in it. How did you... Okay, well, before we get last thought, I had one more question. What did you think of the ending? Because the ending reveals that the cult woos everywhere in Hollywood.
What I took away from it, it was everywhere in the Hollywood Hills, specifically.
So, no loss and there.
I know it's like probably like a budget thing, right? So you're only going to put these lights up, like what you can see, like because you got to pay these people to use their front property. I thought that was pretty cool, and I thought it was I don't know if this is going to upset people. I thought it was a pretty honest idea of how Hollywood Hills people work too. Like they stick to their own, you know?
Yeah, no, that's very true. Something like that would infiltrate that sort of society. You know what I mean?
Right,
too much money. I have too much time, and you know, everyone's looking to get something from somebody. So something like that would, I can see it very plausibly entering that sort of society.
That's actually a good point that you're bringing up right now. According to the film, Logan Marshall Green, and I'm guessing Kira as well, are the poor people in that entire setting. So maybe has a lot to do with why they were so readily able to accept. I mean, the richer people were readily able to accept like this sort of cult thing because they have all the money. So like, you know, you constantly think if I had more money, it would fix all of my problems. And all that money didn't fix anything for them. But for Logan Marshall Green and Kira, God, I should just say her name. But I don't want to butcher it. So, you know, that's probably why they weren't as swayed. And I could also forgive the Kira character for just trying to like smooth things out the whole movie. Because I don't think at any point was she like accepted. She was just like, oh God, please, like
just let's get through this.
she wanted any girlfriend. To leave. Yeah. She wanted to leave several times.
No, absolutely. I agree. I think there is a subtle bit of a classism in the movie. And that's definitely there. And like I was saying, I think that it worked for the most part for me. Strong direction. Again, the weakest thing I thought was some of the scripting was not very strong.
Yeah, unfortunately. Yes, I agree.
Cool. So, how many sexy bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give it?
Sexy bones.
No, wait, don't do that. Just rate the movie.
I will give The Invitation by Karen Kusama.
Nailed it.
5.5 sexy spooky bones.
Half.
I've been working on the voice. I don't know if you guys can appreciate it.
It's appreciated. Yeah, same. I think I would go, actually, I was thinking more like 6 sexy spooky bones out of 10. Yeah, solid movie. Cool.
Sweet.
Thank you for listening. And as always,
stay spooky.
Skeleton crew, it's time. The boys say goodbye. We love all of you. We really have to go poo. We'll miss you, but it's time for us to go.